This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
At this point, I would like to invite your attention, please. If you would, please stand up with me and open your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 10. We're going to read verses 17 all the way to verse 22. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 all the way to verse 22. Thank you, Pastor David, for this opportunity to bring God's word to your people this evening. Follow with your eyes as I read these verses. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all this have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this beautiful opportunity that you have given us here at Parkway Baptist Temple to come and worship with your people here. Lord, I thank you for the generosity of the pastor in allowing us to present our work in Cambodia and at the same time to challenge your people here about your claims upon the lives of those who profess to be your children and your followers. And tonight, Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be our guide. Help us to be attentive and help us to be willing to obey you, knowing that if we don't, we are the ones to suffer the loss of the blessings that you have prepared for us. And so, Lord, we ask for your work upon us today, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage that we have just read, this is one of the very rare occasions during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when somebody came to him asking him for something that he could readily give them. However, they went away disappointed. I do not see any other stories like this in the Bible where somebody came to him. This man came to the Lord Jesus Christ with the right reasons. He wanted to know how to have eternal life. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the right person who can give eternal life. He is the author of eternal life. But we find that it should have been a story with a happy ending, but it was a very tragic one. Tonight, I would like us to ponder on this question. What happens when you do not obey Jesus? Many believers, many people, including believers, seem to think that it is all right to disobey God's commands. There are very, very serious implications if anyone, whether they are a believer or not, if anyone would choose to disobey God's command, there are very, very serious implications. And the bottom line is this: we will always be the losers when we choose to disobey what the Lord wants us to do. So tonight I'm going to speak about great losses for not obeying Jesus. Before we go to what people would lose, what people stand to lose when they do not obey the Lord Jesus, I would like us to see from what we can find in the passage some of the reasons why people choose to disobey the Lord Jesus. One reason why people choose to disobey the Lord Jesus is because they choose to believe a lie. This man, we find here, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was running. And he addressed the Lord Jesus Christ in this manner. He said, "Good Master." Now we know that Jesus Christ is God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what are the deepest secrets that are embedded in the deepest recesses of our hearts. So when this man came to him and said, "Master, good Master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" The Lord responded to him as according to the situation of his heart, according to the condition of this man's heart. Let us remember this. The Lord always responds to us according to our need, not according to our desires. Many times we would like to make a servant out of God. Do not put the carriage before the horse. We are servants of God, and we do not come to God, and we would expect to Him that He will conform to our desires. He will always respond to us according to our needs. So knowing the condition of this man's heart, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean here? This man did not believe that Jesus Christ is God, but he was willing to concede that Jesus Christ is good. And so Jesus Christ said, "Young man, if I am not God, I can't be good. If I am good, then you must acknowledge that I am God." My first trip to the U.S., one of the phrases I have learned and memorized well is this: "Ain't God good?" I wonder why I don't hear that often. I guess it got worn out. The expression might have been worn out, but God is still good, because God is good. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot be good if He is not God. So Jesus Christ is saying, before you call me good, you must acknowledge that I am God. So one error of this man is this: he failed to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God. And so because of that, he is willing to do away with what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling him to do. If you and I believe that Jesus Christ is God, He is more powerful than the police who placed that stop sign on the road. I come from Asia. We have stop signs on the road. Those stop signs on the road are just decorations. It is there to make the road much more beautiful. It means nothing. But in this country, I understand what it means. Stop means stop. And I better obey it, because whatever the color of the police officer might be, regardless of his tall or if he's short, if he's skinny or if he's wide, if he comes there and say, "Hey, you didn't stop at that red sign," all I can do would be to scratch my head and say, "Sir, I come from Asia and that means nothing. So I thought it means nothing here." He said, "Don't give me that crap. You are smart enough to cross the Pacific Ocean into our country. You ought to be smart enough to understand that stop means stop. And I better keep quiet." Hey, man. He is just an ordinary man. But I dare not violate the rules and regulation that he represents, that he is there to implement. But here we are. The Lord Jesus Christ, we claim to be our God, but we are not willing to obey Him. This, perhaps one reason why believers do not obey the Lord Jesus Christ is because they think of Him as a less God or a lesser God, whatever. So this man entertained the lie that Jesus Christ was only human. Another lie that this man entertained why he would not listen to the Lord Jesus Christ is this. He thought that he can gain eternal life by his own merit. He came to the Lord and said, "Good master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So he is harping on what his human abilities can comply with, can accomplish. Never think for a moment that you can gain eternal life by your own efforts. Salvation is not something we gain. It is something we receive because it is given by God's grace. Made possible to us by what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. This man thought that he is good enough. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." He said, "Oh, all those I did." I mean, he is smart and not so smart to realize that what the Lord Jesus Christ has quoted to him was only one half. Where is the part where it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me"? The Lord basically didn't mention that because he knew that in the heart of this man, there are some other gods that he worshiped, and perhaps the one of those gods is himself, what he can do. Perhaps one of those gods that he worshiped was whatever material and earthly treasures that he possesses, that he is not willing to part with. So this man thought that salvation is something that he could possibly earn by his own efforts. That's a lie. Another lie that this man entertained, why he is so bold to reject the Lord's command, is that he thought he can have a satisfied life without the Lord Jesus. He thought that his material possessions could bring him joy. However, it did not take him a minute to realize that what he had wasn't sufficient to give him a life of fulfillment and satisfaction. Because the moment he said no to the Lord Jesus Christ, he walked away, according to our Bible says, he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. This man entertained all kinds of lies about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I don't know what other lies what people might be entertaining, why they would be so bold to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are one of those people who entertain some lies about the Lord Jesus Christ, think again. Think again. You are wrong and the Bible is right. When my thinking it becomes contrary to what the Bible teaches, the Bible is right and this person is wrong. This man thought, I have it all. So he entertained several lies. While entertaining all kinds of lies about the Lord Jesus Christ, lies about himself, lies about his material possessions, we find here that he totally ignored the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me here at the verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I wonder, how did Mark see how much the Lord Jesus Christ loved this man when he was writing this? Perhaps Mark, the materials in Mark's gospel were stories that Peter might have told him. But think about this. How did Peter know that Jesus Christ loved this man if he was the one who told this information to Mark? We believe, of course, that it was the Holy Spirit who revealed this to Mark. And so here, the Holy Spirit revealed to Mark that this man, while he was standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, he failed to see the love in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. Our Bible tells us, the Lord Jesus, beholding him, loved him. This man was so engulfed with his own goodness that he totally ignored. He became totally unaware of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of where we are right now, perhaps away from God, perhaps close to God, I hope we will always remember that Jesus Christ loves us. If you happen to be someone like this man or close to be like him, remember this. Regardless of how deluded you might be because of sin, Jesus Christ loves you. And Jesus Christ, just like he has offered some peace, love, and eternal life to this man, Jesus Christ is extending such offer to you as well. This man entertained lies. He totally ignored the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also ignored what Jesus Christ told him as one thing thou lackest. He thought he is what we might say, a self-made man. There are some people who think that they don't need anything. The Lord told him, one thing thou lackest. He says, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Please understand. The Lord did not say, you sell all of this, and you will gain eternal life. No, he said, no, you sell all this, you give to the poor, you will have treasures in heaven. He did not say, this is how you're going to be saved. You give money to the church. You give money to the Power of Grace Children's Home. That is not what Jesus Christ said. He did not say, you give so that you will have eternal life. He said, you give and you will have treasures in heaven. So treasures in heaven happen after we know that we have an assurance that our name is written down in heaven. One thing thou lackest goes hand in hand when it says there in a verse in John chapter 3 verse 18, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. This man is lacking something. He lacks faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is more than all he needs. That Jesus Christ is everything he needs. He was not willing to trust that word from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he entertained so much lies. He was ignoring the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would not admit that there is a great lack, although it's just one thing, it is a great lack. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't say, oh, you lack this. When I was 20 years old, I applied for the U.S. Navy. I went to a U.S. Navy recruiting center in the Philippines. I was running away from God. I went to the U.S. Navy recruiting center. I presented all documents that they would require. And so they said, okay, just wait for a call. We will call you when your name is drawn. My name finally was drawn by the U.S. Navy recruiting center at the Sabak Subic Naval Base in Olongapo City in the Philippines. So I was there, went there very confident. I got there, and there was an officer. He held one of the papers that I gave him. A birth certificate. Just one piece of paper. And he just filling the sides of that paper. He did not ask me anything. He just held that paper. And filling the sides of that paper. Then he said, I'm sorry, son. You do not have the right document. I said, sir, that is a certified true copy of the original of my birth certificate. He said, I understand, but it does not come in the form that your government and my government requires. And so I said, so what do I do now, sir? He said, there's the door. Somebody opened the door. I went out, and it was the same bus that took me inside the recruiting camp that is going to take me outside of the recruiting camp. Just one document. I do not know what could have happened if I had the right document. What I'm saying is that just one thing. Here it is, brethren, my friends. If you are here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you lack that most important thing for you to have a meaningful life on earth and eternal life in heaven. One thing thou lackest. So we saw the lies that this man entertained. We saw how he ignored the love of Jesus. We saw how he was unwilling to acknowledge a great lack in his life. Let us look at the losses that he has incurred for not obeying Jesus. And this is basically what I would like to emphasize this evening. So we still have another 3 hours together. What happens when you do not obey the Lord Jesus? First of all, if you do not agree with Jesus about that one thing thou lackest, the Bible tells us you are a lost soul. It's not a matter of you getting lost. The Bible already describes a person outside of the Lord Jesus Christ as lost. Past tense. Meaning, the only thing that could change that is if that state of being lost could be changed to being saved if you trust Jesus Christ. So this man was not willing to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, and so here he is. He was a lost man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he came asking the right question. What must I do that I might inherit eternal life? He came to the right person, the one who died on the cross to give us all eternal life. But after hearing what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say, he said, "No, sir. No, sir, I'm not going to do what you want me to do." So you lose your soul if you do not obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that you and I are in peril of losing, okay? If you are saved, you will never lose your soul. I thank God for that. If you have already placed your faith on what Jesus Christ has accomplished on that cross of Calvary, that has been guaranteed to have satisfied the demands of a righteous heavenly Father by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you place your faith on that, your soul will be secured forever. Jesus Christ himself said, "No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. No, not even the devil. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." You will never lose your soul. But if you are a believer here today, and I believe I'm speaking basically to believers because this is a prayer meeting. Okay, this is a midweek service. If you and I would not listen to Jesus, we are in danger of losing the opportunity to follow Jesus. Jesus Christ said, "Follow me." How many men and women have had that opportunity of a personal invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, we can name a few of them, like Peter and Andrew, his brother, James and John, the 12 apostles, the apostle Paul. You can include Judas there. But here's somebody who could have had that opportunity to have become one of the closest followers of the Lord Jesus. I thank God that I'm a friend of Todd. I thank God that I'm a friend of Pastor David's. But I hope that people say, "Mike is a friend of the Lord Jesus too." Because my friendship with these two great men would be nothing if I am not a follower of Jesus. The best thing that could be said about anybody in this life is that he is a follower of Jesus Christ. Because a follower of Jesus Christ will always impact other people to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing more is a lofty position than to be just the bridge between somebody who is lost and the Lord Jesus Christ. This man had this wonderful opportunity. And for all of us here who hold a Bible, I want us to understand that every time we hear the Lord Jesus Christ go, he is telling you and I to follow him. Every time we see the Lord's command to take the gospel or to do something in his name, he is inviting us to follow him. This man flatly said to the Lord Jesus, "I'm not going to follow you. what would Mr. Trump say if, while preaching here, I get a text message and he says, Mike Valdez, somebody over the grapevine told me that you are in the U.S. of A. And I would like to invite you to the Oval Office. And I would say, nah, I don't like to go there. I would like to go hang out with Todd at Applebee's. I mean, I can always go with Brother Todd, hang out with him at Applebee's. But how often does the President of the United States, extend a personal invitation on an individual? Much less somebody who is from out from nowhere, somewhere. He would be insulted. And how often do we hurl insults on the Lord Jesus Christ when we say, I am not going to do what you want me to do? He lost the opportunity to follow Jesus. He did not only lose his soul, he did not only lose the opportunity to follow Jesus, he lost the opportunity to become a blessing to others. When you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are following him, the natural consequence would be you become an instrument of his blessings to other people. Jesus Christ said, sell what you have and give it to the poor and follow me. So right there, at the very beginning of his personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he was already provided with an opportunity, with a platform for him to become a blessing to other people. But he said, no, I'm not going to do that. How many opportunities have you and I wasted where we could have been a channel of blessing of God, of the Lord, to other people? By just doing something that we can do. Many times we think that what the Lord commands us are difficult to do. The Lord knows our abilities. The Lord knows what we can do. And he will never command us to do something we cannot do. If we do not have the ability to do those things he is asking us to do, he will enable us to do them. The Apostle Paul himself said, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord who hath enabled me and that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So Paul acknowledged that he was unfaithful. Paul acknowledged that he was unable, but he knew that whatever he was able to do, whatever he was able to accomplish, it was all by the enablement of God upon his life. Not because he was faithful, but the God who called him was faithful. I remember the first time I preached in the Cambodian language. I went to language school. Brother Todd mentioned about the kind of childhood I come from. I come up from a community where the Philippines, we have 108 something kinds of dialects. Some of these dialects are totally different from each other. And some of these dialects are 40%, 30% similar to other dialects in the area. And we have a national language. So growing up, I spoke a little English. I spoke our national language. Our regional dialect is Ilocano. My mother, you could call me a hillbilly Filipino style, okay? Filipino version of hillbilly. My mother is from the mountains of Ifugao, and I spoke their dialect. And in our neighborhood, there are different other dialects spoken. So people would say, when you go to Cambodia, are you going to learn the language? And I said, of course, why not? I said, you think you can learn their language? I said, why not? I know English, I know Tagalog, I know the national language, I know Ilocano, I know this, I know that. One more language would be easy. I went to Cambodia. It dawned on me that it is not easy. But I'm a missionary. I should be very disciplined. I try my best to study. I had a dictionary, I had books under my motorcycle seat. I have pasted on the walls of my bedroom, of our bedroom. I have a pocket dictionary. I have all kinds of boards in our living room, in our dining room, Wherever I turned around, I was looking at Cambodian script, Cambodian language. After 6 months in language school, I was able to learn how to write. So confidently, I started writing my preaching sermon in the Cambodian language, my own handwriting. I filled up a whole page, 2 pages of a regular size piece of paper. I rehearsed that to where my wife is saying, "What's going on with you?" And I was so confident, I am going to preach my first sermon in the Cambodian language. And it will be a very, very powerful sermon. It is my first sermon in the Cambodian language. I stood up there, read my text, went well. I started my introduction, went well. First point, the people were nodding their heads. Second point, I have a difficult time reading, but I survived it. Third point, I cannot read my own handwriting. You know, I don't know if Pastor David does this. Sometimes Pastor David is so animated in his preaching, he runs away from his notes. Then he forgets what he's supposed to say next. So what does he say? He says, Walks gingerly as if he knows what he's about to say, but he was actually faking so that he can come back to his notes. He doesn't do that. I did that. I faked everything to try to gain some composure to read what I have written myself, but I cannot read it. I tried to recap from first point, second point, and come to third point. I cannot. So I said, "Lord, I'm closing this sermon. I'm so embarrassed to admit to you that I am stupid for believing that this will be a wonderful message. But Lord, I just thank you that I was able to preach this far. But Lord, if embarrassing me is what accomplishes your will, then you can embarrass me as much as you want. I thank God. I close my Bible. I said, is there anyone here who understood the message and would like to put their faith in Jesus Christ?" 4 ladies raise up their hands. I was incredulous. I can't believe that. So I said, "If you understood that you are a sinner and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, can you stand up and walk to the front?" All 4 girls stood up and came to the front. So I opened my Bible, and this time I can open my Bible and read what is there and lead them into the prayer of putting their faith in Jesus Christ. It is not what we can do. It is what God can do. And when He is inviting us, He is giving us an opportunity to be a blessing to others. Regardless of how skilled or unskilled we are, regardless of how capable or incapable we are, because all of the abilities come from God. This man thought, this man was rich. If he inherited his riches, he must be a smart man to have kept all those riches all those times. And he said, "I'm not going to part away with all of this. I cannot do that." He lost the opportunity to become a blessing to others. He lost the potential of having both earthly and heavenly riches. Many times we refuse to follow Jesus because we think of so much things to give up. We are wrong. There's just so much to lose if we do not follow the Lord Jesus. This man thought, "Well, if I give up everything I have, and all I have would be Jesus, would that be sufficient? Would that be enough?" I mean, he thought that Jesus would not be sufficient to fulfill whatever there is that need might be in his heart. You know, when the Lord said, "Give what you have," going down on the same line actually a continuation of the story. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold in this time." We find here that people think that God's blessings are all up there and none down here. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, by his own mouth, he said that blessings, while they are waiting up in heaven, there are blessings on here on earth as well. How could a Filipino boy from the mountains in the Philippines come to the United States? Well, I have a brother here. I have a sister here. I have a brother here. I tell my children, I said, "Children, I have three sons. All of them are good preachers. Please pray, because they seem to be scared of becoming a full-time preacher, although one of them is preaching every Sunday. And Mikey is teaching as working as a chaplain in one of the Christian schools in Cambodia, but he would not like to serve as a full-time preacher. So I tell them, I said, you don't have to be preachers. You don't have to be pastors. You don't have to be missionaries. If you behave like God wants you to behave, wherever you would find yourself in all of the Philippine islands, you can go to a church and you can say, my pastor is Mike Valdez. Or you can just say, I am a child of God. You will have somebody to welcome you in their home. And basically, that's how God has been blessing us, where we are able to travel all over the world and we see brothers and sisters we have never known before. We have lived more than 50 years on this earth before we came to shake their hands for the first time. And it's so amazing that we feel like we have been friends and brothers since the day we were born. I believe that is part of the blessings that Jesus Christ has promised here. There are blessings here on earth as we await the eternal rewards in heaven. This man thought that blessings are only on the sweet by and by and nothing on the here and now. There are blessings in the here and now as there are blessings waiting in the sweet by and by. Another thing that this man lost, he lost his soul, he lost the opportunity to follow Jesus, he lost the opportunity to be a blessing to others, he lost the potential of having both earthly and heavenly riches, he lost the opportunity to lead his family to Jesus. I would think it would be safe to assume that this man comes from a family who do not know the Lord Jesus. Because if his family knew the Lord Jesus, he could have gone to his mom, he could have gone to his dad and say, "Dad, I want to know how to have eternal life." And they would have told him gladly. And the father will come to church and say, "Hey, my son, my daughter, trusted Jesus Christ. Let Pastor David baptize him." But he comes from a family of unsaved. And many times, when you come from a family of unbelievers, as a new believer, you will have the difficulty of suffering all kinds of persecution and ridicule from your very own kindred and blood. But regardless of the persecution, isn't it a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful blessing, that we become the persons God sees fit to lead our unbelieving mom, our unbelieving dad, our unbelieving nephews, our unbelieving nieces, our unbelieving relatives to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? This man could have been that instrument. You know, the rich man who died and went to hell in the story about Lazarus, I don't know if it's the same man here. Because Abraham told him, "You have had all the good things in life." And when he was in hell, he said, "Father Abraham, if you are not going to let Lazarus dip his finger in water to come and cool my tongue, please send him and tell my brothers in my father's house not to come to this place." Such was the plea of this lost man in soul. Well, if he was the same man, he could have had the opportunity to lead those five brothers into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Sometimes believers would say, I don't want to follow Jesus because I have an unbelieving husband. I have an unbelieving wife. I have an unbelieving father. Oh, I come from a family of unbelievers and they are all again serving Jesus Christ. We come from a family of Catholics and we have some opposition from our families when we first trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But praise the Lord, by the grace of God, somewhere down the line, months and years after we have followed the Lord Jesus Christ, our relatives came to know Jesus Christ as well. It is a blessing that we become God's instruments to lead our kinsfolk into the saving knowledge of God. This man lost that opportunity. Another thing that this man lost, he lost the opportunity of enjoying a life on earth, knowing that he has God's smile on his life. He thought that satisfaction comes from his material things. He thought that satisfaction comes from what he possessed. So he said, I'm not going to listen to Jesus. The very minute he turned his back on Jesus, he realized he was wrong. He realized that satisfaction is only found in the Lord Jesus. We do not know if this man ever repented. Our Bible doesn't tell us so. I hope that he had opportunity in the future, after this, to have trusted Jesus Christ. But this man, he thought that he can have a fulfilled life without the Lord Jesus Christ's smile upon him. You and I will never have the smile of God upon our lives if we live in disobedience. We stand to lose so much. So these things, do not listen to the devil's lie that there's just so much to give up if you follow Jesus. Please, please, please. There is so much to lose if you do not follow the Lord Jesus. There's so much wasted blessings. I remember one of my earlier trips to the U.S. A friend of ours picked us up at the house. And he told me, Mike, I just want to share you my testimony. He said, I have a father who was a preacher. Because of something that happened, I so hated my father. I know God was calling me to become a pastor, perhaps a missionary like you. But because of my bitterness against my father, I did not heed. Now I'm old, I have family to take care of. I don't know if I will be able to become a pastor, a preacher. But I'm going to serve God the best way I could right now. But think what could have happened. What could God have done in my life and through my life? Have I obeyed Him then? He is regretting that he did not follow Jesus. I don't know if this man had the opportunity to regret that decision and in the end repented. This man lost so much for not obeying Jesus. He lost so much not because he was poor. He lost so much not because he was uneducated. He lost so much not because he was ignorant, because he knew. He lost so much not because he didn't have the opportunity or the time. He lost so much not because he didn't have help, because Jesus Christ was there to help him. And I want to let everyone be reminded that Jesus Christ here is here with us and he is ready to help us so that we would not lose these great blessings of following Jesus. I hope you know that your soul is not lost. I hope you know that you have said yes to Jesus and you are following Him. It is such a wonderful blessing to follow Jesus. I hope that you are following Jesus and you see your life becoming an instrument of blessing to others. I hope that you are following Jesus and you see yourself enjoying earthly blessings while you anticipate the heavenly blessings. I hope you are following Jesus, enjoying His personal communion with Him, and your friends and loved ones that know you the closest are being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And you are saying, glory to God. God is good. Let's all stand up and go to the Lord in prayer. Pastor David comes. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for reminding us that when we say no to you, we are basically saying no to the many blessings that you would like to give us. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, help us to have a heart that is willing to trust you, that what you say is more than sufficient guarantee to take care of us wherever we might be, knowing that we can never be in a place where your presence is not there if we are following you. So bless your people, Lord, for your honor and glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.